You join me at a tremendously exciting moment. It's Into Your Head, the failed hotel trilogy, part 8. Now, we've a lot to get on with. I'm using this frigging audio booting that only lets you record 5 minutes at a time. So, the clock is ticking. Well, it's not ticking. It's an electronic clock, but I can see it. I can see the time counting away in front of me. It's actually counting upwards, so this is rather confusing. But I must remember for every one that the timer goes upwards, my time left is in fact going downwards. It's rather confusing if you ask me. Although it was worse in the analog days. In the analog days, for half of the hour, the big hand would go down the clock, and for the other half, it would go up the clock. But at both stages, time was still going forward. It didn't signify a difference in direction. Why it couldn't just go down all the time or up all the time, I don't know. If you have a frigging thermometer, it goes up for up and down for down. But no, apparently on an analog clock, down. Between 12 and 6 in the afternoon, down means you're going forward, but for 6 hours after that, down means you're going backwards, which rarely happens. Clocks don't go backwards, not even, well, I suppose if you put a clock on the front of a reversing car, it'll go backwards, but you know damn well that's not what I'm talking about, you fucking smart arse. No, none of that crap, none of that smart arsery. I'm not into puns or smart arsery or silly stories of that nature. I don't, for example, say that this bed in the hotel here, if you were to attach a clock to it, it would become a clock bed, and then find some obscure Japanese term that meant clock bed and say, oh look, I'm doing this, whatever this Japanese term is, although the Japanese term, if you look it up, actually means skinning a cat. So I'm skinning a cat in my bedroom, and then you're supposed to laugh because I've implied that I'm skinning a cat in my bedroom, but in fact I'm not really. Well, I think that sort of thing is in very bad taste. Stuff. Now I was interrupted there. An SMS text message just came up on my iTelephone from my wife. This is the problem with recording on your iTelephone. Your wife can distract you. She's not even here. Well, she is here. She's in the building. She's doing some. She's doing a course. She's learning how to. She's learning how to do her job better, even better than she does. She's been given all sorts of special training and free lunch. As far as I can ascertain, they spend the whole day eating and then go into a training room for an hour in the morning and an hour in the afternoon, and someone says something to them, and then, I don't know, they go, they get a big clipboard, that's what happened. Oh no, a ring binder, I don't know why everyone obsesses over the difference between a ring board and a clip binder, to be perfectly honest. I've never bought a clipboard in my life. If I ever need something like a clipboard, I get an old ring binder and take the rings out, and then I get rid of the side panel, stick the front and backs of the ring binder together, and if I still want the little metal bit up the top, no, I don't see a need for that. You join me. A tremendously exciting moment. It's part 9 of the Into Your Head Hotel Trilogy failure. It's a failure in several ways. You probably want me to recap now, because it's 8 installments ago since I explained. My voice recorder hasn't come with me on this trip unintentionally, and frankly, I'm stuck with this iTelephone recording system, which only allows you to record in 5 minute increments, and the volume is going all over the place. I'll put out improved versions in a few days, but this will have to do for now. The only other thing I can think of would be to get a cardboard box and go and have a piss into it, but I'm not sure how that would help with the production quality, to be perfectly honest. Although, that reminds me, I haven't done a urination session of the week in some time. I don't need a piss at the moment, but I'll bear it in mind for later if I need a piss. I'm a bit nervous, to be perfectly honest, about recording myself urinating on the telephone, because I might drop it into the toilet, and then it might be even more fucked up than it already is. The microphone apparently is already banjaxed. I'm going to have to get a, I'm going to have to get this freaking eye telephone repaired. I'm going to have to go to the eye telephone repair people and go up to them. I'll go up to the eye telephone repair counter and they'll say, well, I won't say anything. If it's a dedicated counter for iPhone repair, I shouldn't need to open my mouth at all. I should just approach them with my eye telephone and it should be just obvious what I want. It's like when you go into a shop. If you go up to the checkout with a basket full of goods, for some reason they always say to me, are you okay there? And I go, yes, I'm fine. I'd like you to scan these goods through your machine and then tell me how much it costs to purchase them and then accept the cash for me from me in return for them and then allow me to leave with them in my possession without arresting me. Is that okay? No, they shouldn't have to say anything like that at all. They should just start checking through your goods straight away, although a polite hello wouldn't go amiss if you don't mind. A bit of a greeting wouldn't go astray. You go into some places nowadays and you go in and they look at you like you're a dead cat that's just come off the street. Not in a good way. If I saw a dead cat coming in off the street, I'd get down on my knees and thank the gods who brought the cat back to life. Any day when a cat comes back to life is a great day for humanity as far as I'm concerned. But no, that's not the way they look at me. These are people who obviously don't like cats. They like dead cats, but if a dead cat comes in off the street, obviously it's become undead. So if they like dead cats, then it follows by logic that they dislike undead cats immensely, because those are cats that have escaped death. They've come back to life. These people want the cats to be dead. They want them to continue to be dead once they're dead. In fact, they'd like the cat to be dead from the time it's born. They'd probably like the cat to be stillborn inside a dead cat. But no, thankfully these people don't get what they want. If all of the bad people in the world got what they want, there's probably some guy who goes on the UK Living Channel at night on one of those psychic shows who goes and tries to send out bad vibes to everyone. He says, hello, I'm going to try to send out bad luck to everyone in the world because I'm sick of all these positive programmes where everyone comes on and says, hello, hold up a spoon in front of the television and I'll bend it for you. That sort of positive contribution to the world is just making me sick. I want to do something negative. So hold up your cat in front of the television and I'll show you what I'm going to do now. I probably shouldn't tell you in advance because you probably wouldn't let me if that was the case. So just hold up your dead cat. I'm going to pet it. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pet it psychically through the television. Oh dear, I've accidentally petted it so hard that it's died. Sorry about that. But you have a dead cat now. That's probably not what you had in mind when you decided to watch this television program. But no, excuse me for making a television program that has an effect on your life rather than having you just sit there staring at us passively like it's some sort of a computer game, except you don't even have to play it. No, this is proper television. We're taking away your cat, although you'll think you'll find it's still there, although I'd bury it soon if I were you, or you might have a problem. I'm just a psychic television, an imaginary psychic television evil person, and I don't exist, thankfully, because the world would be a worse place if I did. So let's all be grateful for that. I've got 3 seconds left, so I'm out of time in this segment. Goodbye. Now, you join me at a tremendously exciting moment. Or maybe you don't. Maybe this is a continuation, because I'm planning on putting several of these parts, this being part 10, into each episode of Into Your Head over the next few days. So you may not be joining me at all at this point. You may be already here. I may have started the current show with part 9 and part 10, which is this one, starts after part 9 but on the same show, halfway through the show. I don't know. I haven't done the maths. Well, frankly, I have, but I'd forgotten them. I didn't write them. I did calculate it last night. I figured out I'll put the first 4 shows in. The first 4 parts of the Hotel trilogy will be in one show, and the next 3 will be another one, and then the next 4 will be in the next one or something. Well, I can't remember what was the exact configuration. At this point, you probably know. You can probably go back and check your records. I assume you keep a spreadsheet of all of this, of your podcasting arrangements, because the whole iTunes podcast system is completely inadequate. It doesn't have enough information at all. The only way to enjoy podcasts listener is to keep an Excel spreadsheet at the very minimum, preferably a database, showing all of the information pertaining to your podcast listening. If I were you, I wouldn't keep records up past 3 years ago, because there's such a thing as overdoing it. You get a reputation for being, an obsessive compulsive disorder sufferer. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's a perfectly legitimate disease. You're not going to catch it in hotel rooms, but you may display it in hotel rooms, and spending a long time in a hotel room may cause it to amplify for a period because of boredom. But no, you're not going to. If you go and put your hand down the toilet in the toilet seat in this bathroom, you're not going to catch obsessive compulsive disorder, even if the previous person who had obsessive compulsive disorder went into the toilet exactly every 2 minutes and touched the bottom of the toilet bowl, even if he didn't wash his hands, which he probably did if he's got OCD, unless he's got some weird form where he's obsessive about not washing, which I suppose in a way is possible. I've got a very mild bit of OCD. In the old days, I'd have said that 4 times instead of 3, and then I'd have accidentally started to say it again, which would mean I'd have to say it 16 times. But no, I'm over that now. Touch wood. I'm touching wood now. Look. Well, you can't see, but there's wood. There's a round table here. Oh, it's like the King Arthur days. There's a big round. Well, there's a little round table in the hotel room. You can't be expecting them. You can't expect them to have a full size King Arthur table in here, because then there'd be no room for a bed. You'd have to make some sort of a weird bunk bed above the round table, and it would have to be round, and that would be considered weird. You can't be adventurous in the design of a hotel room, because you have to cater for everyone. It's like the way when they build a house nowadays, when they build a new house, they make everything a magnolia, because they have to make sure it caters for everyone's tastes and it doesn't repulse anyone, so they can't be too adventurous. The same goes for hotel rooms. They put there'll be no round table in here with a bed over it, I can tell you. They have 2 rectangular shaped beds. One of them's a double and one of them's a single. Or if you want to look at it another way, one of them is a single and one of them is a half width bed. There's padded walls, I notice as well. Instead of a headboard, they've got an entire large area of the wall padded like a lunatic asylum. Absolutely inappropriate, if you ask me. They decided to put out the message that they think that all of their customers are to be treated like lunatics. They're not saying that we're actually lunatics, although they are employing it in a way, but not seriously, no. They're just saying lunatic asylum decor is suitable to their projected clientele, to their demographic. I think our demographic, we're not saying they're nuts or anything, but padded walls are appropriate for the decor for a room that's aimed at their needs. They'll come back over and over and over again for the padded. They'll come fast to Super Quinn supermarket, says we'll come for the price and we'll stay for the service. We come for the padded tingy yolks.